You know, I actually was going to start a joke this evening with a comment Jerry made about slowing down this morning, and I was going to tell him that I'm not going to be able to fulfill that request, especially when it comes to mountain biking, but in everything else, I've learned how to do that, and so I'm thankful the week went by really fast. I'll be honest with each and every one of you tonight. And all those that are live streaming, I'm glad that you're able to tune in. And I understand that there's times that we can't attend in person, but I appreciate if you are. And hopefully I can express some of my thoughts, some of the things that the Lord has put on my heart. That has really, that I want to give glory to God for what he has helped me through. And it's been a little bit of a struggle at work, and it's been difficult this week and a couple of the prior weeks. I'm not going to get into specifics with all that transpired, but 80% of the time sometimes at work, it seems like we're dealing with employee issues, and 20% of our time is put towards actually doing the job. And so there's been a lot of typing and a lot of things going on with a specific individual. And I do not wish any ill will on anybody. And one of the things as being an employee with the city is that ethics, morals, genuineness, what we're trying to do is provide the best possible service that we can. And unfortunately, there's situations that develop, employees that you deal with that don't go and follow those guidelines too well. And so I had a situation, and I was just astounded by, you know, how God really gives us that peace and that ability to stay calm and to understand that through all things, if we apply ourselves, if we are in tune to what's going on with inside about ourselves and those things that are around us, we can really express the power and the ability that God does to change us and to bring to the light those things which are right and those things which are good. Which was the case that I had to do this week. And I'm going to apologize. I went and rode my bike yesterday, and the weather's cooling off. And so this place I went and rode my bike at, the first thing you got to do is climb this really big hill. And so it really messes with my my lungs and my throat, because it's really strenuous on the body. So that's why I have the water here. And if I'm trying to clear my throat, it's because it got a little messed up from that bike ride yesterday. But in this situation, one of the things that really I wanted to talk about is not just one of the things, but one of the many things I wanted to talk about tonight is the effect that a false accusation has on an individual, especially when you're really trying, you know, when you're trying to do the right thing, when you're trying to support someone, when you're trying to keep the ship going in the right direction. And, you know, there was a false accusation made against me, and it's okay. It's okay. I have another employee that overheard the conversation. So all is good. All is good. And I really, it got me thinking about how God is everywhere. He is with us wherever we go, and he has such a great power to be able to help us through difficult situations. And so, you know, it's interesting because I would say that I've learned through personal experiences that wearing your emotions on your sleeves isn't the wisest thing to do. And God teaches us how to go about interacting with people and in social engagements. And one of the things I've learned from the Lord lately is to be well reserved. And despite everything that's going on emotionally on your insides, like, it was kind of interesting because even after the meeting, I was talking to my supervisor and I was explaining to her, like, it's interesting and profound how all these things could be going on inside of you, but the Lord quenches those things, and he brings this this capability to you to be able to engage, to speak clearly, give you clarity of thought, bring the facts to the table. And in this process, I kind of knew what was going to transpire. So he gives you that thought process to prepare and to be ready for things. And so I'm not the type of person that types a lot. And there was a lot of typing involved. And then I discovered, and my supervisor informed me that the new Word has this little thing you could click on. It's a microphone, and it records and types out for you. And I was like, this is amazing, because there was a few times where I had to stay late and I'm dedicating all my time. I like to go down into the shop and converse with the guy, see what's going on, you know, see what's going on in the shop. And I used to be a tech. Some gentlemen say that I'm not a technician anymore, but it's okay. And I get in there and I get with the guys, and it's important to me because we have a lot of equipment, Deer Valley Airport, Goodyear Airport, our airport, where we support the operations. We had our annual fuel island inspection this week. And you just got to make sure all your ducks are in order all the time. And it's good to be engaged with your staff, because you really can kind of understand and direct where things to go, to help out, to assist, to follow up, to provide information to our customers. So all this is going on, and here I am, and I'm dealing with this, and it was very difficult. But in doing so, I came to the realization that this is a drop in the bucket in my life. And so this is a good experience, because despite the lack of sleep, you wake up in the morning and, you know, or in the middle, and there's a few times I wake up in the middle of the night and I just start thinking and thinking and thinking, the wheels are turning. But God always has brought in this situation a calmness over me and helped me be able to get back to sleep or be able to get to work and focus on the priorities and still be able to achieve what I was set out to achieve. And, you know, this false accusation, there were statements made and everything was put in order. And I'm looking forward to, you know, continue to engage with this individual and make sure that our operation is running smoothly and in the right direction. So we'll see. You know, there's choices, there's decisions that he has to make to be able to help that along. And if not, there's repercussions for that. But one of the things, you know, I wanted to just to make sure that in doing so, that I was trying to keep a positive attitude. And my title actually was Assume Positive Intent, but I changed it. And I just really felt that it's the power of God that really helps us be able to cope with these things, to deal with these things, and gives us the proper mannerisms in doing so. But it says here in Romans chapter 12, 17 through 19, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. We talked about judgment earlier. Thank you for that, Jerry. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And that word recompense, I got out of Webster's 1828, is to compensate, to make return of an equivalent. And so, you know, this false accusation that was made, it was actually brought back up. We had HR there. We had the union steward for this individual, the individual himself. And it was really interesting because we had to walk through this process, this scenario, and a couple of other scenarios that were going on. And when the Lord gives you the ability to speak the truth and you have all good intentions, how easy that is and how calm you can do it. And I really glorify the Lord in doing that, because, you know, just like even when I come up here to stand up here, all of us, you know, your heart rate goes up a little bit. You get a little bit nervous. You might not speak as clearly as you thought when you put the sermon together. But in this situation, it was really just right there. It just all just kind of came out perfectly. And the Lord put things in order. And I spoke and I had my opportunity, and this individual as well, with one of the other topics that we were talking about, had an opportunity to be able to describe what his responsibility was and what he needed to do. And it was interesting to me and to everybody else that when he was given that opportunity, he elected to not speak at all. And that was out of rebellion. And it was because, and I knew that those words that were given from myself, laying it out, this is what needs to be done. This is why we do this. This is who we are. You know, he didn't have something to support his accusation. And in doing so, I looked at the Unit 2 steward. I looked at the HR representative. I looked back at the individual. And I looked back at the steward. And inside of me, I'm like, oh boy, like, I just want to unleash on this gentleman. And I thought to myself, and the Lord gave me this thought. He just, with saying nothing, spoke volumes. He spoke volumes of this situation. And so I think about what God can do and how his words are so powerful, how he can be in places and you can feel his presence, and how he just knows everything and is so gracious that he gives us the ability to be able to continue to learn, to have wisdom and knowledge of those things that are important in our immediate life, despite how he knows everything from the start to the finish, not just on the outside and superficial, but deep on the inside. And he knows how to work with that if we're open to him, if we decide to open up, or we could shut him out and continue on the way that would be away from what God teaches us. And so I wanted to touch bases on these three things that, so I started to put together this study. I had all my thoughts together and, you know, there's, I stumbled across this. I don't know how else to explain it. These are some words that we don't use too often. And the first one is omnipotence, and is the agency of force of unlimited power. And I want to start off with the prefix here, omni. It means all. And the, we're going to talk about this in particular, each topic that we're going to talk about. I want to just share some scriptures, share some thoughts, some of those things that the Lord has put on my heart. And so one of the things with this unlimited power that God has is interesting because, you know, we've seen all that Christ did through creation and through his time on earth and even to the giving of his life. He had power to do anything and everything. And so one of the things that I learned as I was doing this study was that how he spent so much time caring for his people. And he wasn't just coming to destroy or to prove his power, but he was coming to show his love and that he cared and he engaged with his people, that he was there to give them something to look forward to, some guidance and direction in their life, something to look up to. And there's nothing too hard for Christ. You know, his word is never void of power. And there's proof in that, in everything that he has given us in the gospel and in everything that we ask and that we pray for, how God gives us. His power is never ending. And one of the proofs to that is, I put in here in my notes is, look at me, you know, I went from what I was to what I am, and I give all glory to God because of the power that he has to change people. And that is so important for us because, you know, this power is something that man would love to be able to yield. You know, man's always looking nuclear power, all kinds of electrical power. We're always trying to figure out how to get more power. And, you know, there's those people that do those things are highly esteemed. And there's a knowledge and there's a power that God has that nobody will ever be able to compare to. You know, he has the power to create life and to bring life back. And I just wanted to reference in this situation in Genesis chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. And this is where, you know, Sarah was being told that she was going to be able to have a child. The Lord told them that. And they're, you know, I could kind of relate now that I'm getting older, thinking about having a child. Now I'm not as old as they were, but, you know, that's a pretty tall order. And, you know, in reality, in human nature, sometimes those things, as you get older, just are not possible. But with God, all things are possible. And it says here in verse 12 through 14, it says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. So she's like, this is crazy. After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Wow, what a question that is. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And so, you know, these amazing things that God can do with his power. And it wasn't to prove himself through pride or anything. It was to prove that he is capable, that he does have this ability that nobody else has. And in Romans 11:33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And, you know, God knows everything that's going on inside of us. He knows all of our emotions. And so it's just a wisdom and knowledge that there's no limit to. I think about some of the things going on Earth now. Science-wise, you look at the SpaceX project, all the things that Elon Musk is doing and trying to get further and further and further with his SpaceX program. You know, his end goal is to get to Mars. That's one of the things he wants to accomplish. So he's putting all his time and effort and money into the SpaceX program. But, you know, in doing so, if it is God's will, it will be done. And it's interesting because God can do anything. But in this study, as I was looking into this and looking at some of the things, I understood that there's some things that God cannot do. And I know that's kind of shocking at first, but God cannot lie. It tells us in Titus 1:2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so we know that God cannot lie. He cannot perform any immoral actions. He's perfect. He doesn't do that. That's not of God, because then he would cease to exist as God. He doesn't do anything evil. God doesn't do anything evil. Everybody that does evil things, usually it's because of selfishness and it's for a rise of power or something that they're trying to consume or take upon for themselves. And his truth is perfect. It's a perfect consistency of thought and action. And I love that, because one of the things that working in my line of business and with multiple individuals and dealing with multiple issues of life. And it's interesting because we as a group try to keep a consistency of our practices. And, you know, there's inconsistencies in your consistencies because of life itself. So when we have individuals that have a mother that's struggling, when they have an injury themselves, when they have a child that's sick, you know, those are the types of things of being consistent with how God gives us the ability to listen and to show charity and to show grace because of what he did for us. And that, I believe that's very powerful, because the capability that somebody will, the abilities that somebody has and will provide when you show grace when you show love, when you show charity, how much it's returned back to you in retrospect. And because, you know, you are there, you are supporting somebody, the organization itself is supported. And I thought about that, and I think about the body of Christ, you know, all the different things that people are going through. It's interesting to see the challenges, and it's interesting to see that through everybody's challenges and struggles, the hope and the trust and the faith that is still there being put forth to God. And so, you know, in that, omniscience is the next one. And so I had to go and look at this word and break it down and kind of get a better understanding of it. And so the definition is the quality of knowing all things at once. And that's hard to wrap your head around just in that phrase alone. Universal knowledge unbounded or infinite. Omniscience is an attribute only particular to God. And that is something in itself that, you know, this intelligence that he has and that those things that God does, that it's an intelligent purpose. There's a purpose in everything that he does. What's going on in Israel, you know, the situation in Gaza, how things are unfolding there. There's some interesting information that's coming out, how just this week, one of the things that they have to deal with, Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, is they have to worry about this tunnel network underneath Gaza. And one of the things they talked about was actually flooding these tunnels out to get Hamas out of these tunnels, because it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to go in there, and you can lose a lot of lives. And just this week, I shared this in my Sunday school class. The rains came in, and it was really some neat video footage too of the lightning and everything. And there was torrential downpours in Israel, and especially in Gaza. And these tunnels were flooded out, and the Hamas group had to come out. The terrorists had to come out, and they were basically flushed out. And, you know, a lot of times I have stood up here before and say that I don't believe in coincidence anymore. And this is just one of those things where, like, God has this intelligent purpose, and he has a goal in everything too. And how, from my perspective and my opinion, is that, you know, God's hand is also in everything. He knows everything. He knows what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And he's capable of doing it. And, you know, a lot of things that we do them because it's entertaining to us. It's not really, there's a lot of things that we do that, especially as I was growing up as a teenager, that didn't require a lot of intelligence. I did a lot of stupid things, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But in opening up my life to God and letting him be able to come in and to show me, to learn about new things, new chapters, basically, these new chapters really have helped me be able to have a wisdom of how to deal with life. And I'm so appreciative of that. And it says in Isaiah chapter 55, 8 through 11, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but the watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And that's such a inspirational scripture, because, you know, a lot of difficulties that we deal with, we don't know where to go, how to get there, what to do, what to say. But the more that I found myself engaged with the Lord, the more confident in knowing that the Lord is there and he knows exactly what needs to be done. And in Psalms 147:5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." So as confused as you can be, as confused as I get sometimes of how things work, you know, I kind of looked at it the other day, and as I was thinking about this, I remember when we had a scripture camp at the ranch, and one of the things I wanted to do in my sermon up there was to be able to work through a sermon while I solved a Rubik's Cube. And if you guys would have seen what was going on, because I really like, and I'll admit, you know, in my humanness, I was very impressed with some of these young men that were knocking this Rubik's Cube out in a matter of seconds. It was like really neat. And I just took it upon myself to try something that I've never done before and to prove to myself that I could do that. And in doing so, I learned how to do it. And I wanted to express that in a way to show others that things are possible that you think you can't do. The Lord gives you the capability to do that. He gives you wisdom and knowledge to be able to accomplish things. And that's because, you know, God knows everything. I hope that he was amused out of the fact that, you know, do I think a Rubik's Cube is childish? Yeah, in a way, because it kind of is. When I was a kid, it was something I grew up with. It was new and it was fun. And I never in all my life could figure that out. Back then, you didn't have YouTube. You know, there was a book you could buy in the store, go to the library, get and learn how to solve it. But yeah, that's kind of like buying something from IKEA and putting it together. You know, if some of you have done that before, it's next to impossible. So you get frustrated and you put it down. And so after years and years and years, that was something that, you know, it was neat to be able to do that and to share that with other people. And in doing so, hopefully there was a message behind that as well. And so I also wanted to share in 1 John 3:18 through 20. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, let us do those things and prove those things that God gives us the capability to do. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And that's really neat because, you know, that truth that we speak, if that's your intention, is to go into any situation and just bring the truth into the light, you know, and your heart and your intentions are in the right place, how God supports you. No matter how much you need to say or how much you need to prove, no matter how much evidence you have to gather, the Lord is going to give you the capability to do so. You know, and one of the things in knowing this is God exposes those things within us that we need to work on. And I find it profound how in ways God helps us be able to feel those things that we're doing wrong and still loves us and encourages us to make those corrections, to do things right. And you know, it's interesting because these different stages that we go through when we sin, it's a struggle. It's a struggle within us. But those deep emotions, God knows of that. God knows of that. And I really wanted to share all of Psalms 139. And I'm not going to do that because it's a very good psalm. And one of the things I put here in my notes is that it sums up a lot of these things that's going on and within us. And it says, I have a few verses here, 1 through 6 and 23 through 24. But David, as he's going through 7 through 22, really gives a lot of supporting information of what's going on with him and sharing that with the Lord. But in 1 through 6, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Wherever my mind wanders, God knows about it. Wherever it's going, whatever I'm thinking about, thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows everything that we're doing. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. You know, even those things that we don't say, the Lord knows what is before the filter, is kind of how I put it. Thou hast been me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And that's something I'm so thankful for, is that how, you know, when you feel that hand of the Lord upon you, you know, is this really what you need to say? Refrain yourself, you know, restrain yourself. You know, these things the Lord does when our hearts are soft and open unto him. And David says here, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Help me fix those things that are wrong with me. Help me be able to understand the path I need to take to make the corrections. And I read a little bit from Matthew Henry on this, and it says here, David here lays down his great doctrine. I thought this was a pretty neat observation from Matthew Henry, that the God with whom we have to do has a perfect knowledge of us, and that all the motions and actions, both of our inward and outward man, are naked and open before him. And it's just like Adam and Eve when they came to the knowledge that they were actually naked. You know, the Lord knew it. He knew something was going on, and they felt ashamed. And it's kind of relate that to the same thing that goes on with inside of us, because, you know, in certain situations, shame on me, you know, shame on me for having this approach, for thinking these thoughts, and for getting my emotions stirred up within my side of myself for something that I don't even know what is going on. So that's where I've learned to really be reserved and to let the Lord open my eyes to see things that I'm concerned about. And it's kind of funny when you give time to the Lord to be able just to kind of sit back and let it unfold in front of you, that what you were thinking and what actually is transpiring is almost on, not almost, but can be on opposite sides of the spectrum. And so, you know, this is kind of neat, because that omniscience that the Lord has is just, it's profound how much he knows and can do. And so the third and final one is that I wanted to talk about tonight is his omnipresence. And it's presence in every place at the same time, unbounded or universal presence, ubiquity. Omnipresence is an attribute only peculiar to God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read a couple verses there. It says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, he's created everything, the heavens and the earth. He's created time, the time in which we have here. And his presence has been with the world and since his creation and all the way to the end. And even though we think that he might be absent, is he really? You know, is he really absent from our lives? He's not, because he created everything. And so therefore, with him, this supports the omnipotence and the omniscience that God has of his omnipresence. And it's just supported by that. If he's created all things and he knows all things and he has the power to do all things, he therefore has the power to be everywhere at any time. And it's interesting to me, because how all those three work together, just like the Holy Trinity. And I'm sure there's, if you really went into the study, you could probably start working this all together. But, you know, this is just something that has really struck me as interesting. And one of those things that he says from the beginning, well, not the very beginning, but it is from the beginning, I have a scripture in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 11 through 13. And I set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. And this is something that I think is valid to us in our lives, is that whether if we're bound by something, if something is keeping us in bondage, the Lord, He knows where you're at. He knows that you can get out of that situation as long as you let Him lead you. And He has the capability to be there to do that, to walk within. And it's kind of interesting because this is the tabernacle of clay that the Lord has given us. And He has that capability to do that. That's His omnipresence. And it also says in Jeremiah 7:23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that I may be well unto you. And so the Lord is really giving us the recognition and the admonishment that no matter what, He is there. If we obey Him, He's going to be, and if we walk in His way, He's going to be there with Him, because we are His people. And that's not just from the beginning, but even in the end, in Revelations 21:3, it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. So even though, you know, we are going through this life, in the end, when the books are open, when everything's said and done, that the Lord, we will be with Him in His presence, even all through eternity. I just think that's really neat. And nobody else can do that. Nobody has the power to be able to set those things in order, and how neat that is. And so what I wanted to do is kind of transition after we have those three omnis, which means all those things that the Lord can do. I found these verses in John chapter 11, verses 11 through 15 is where I want to start, but the crux of it is going to be 30 through 36. And so I kind of want to set this up. This is where Lazarus is going to pass away. The Lord knows about it. It's interesting because it led me to this. And there's Mary does something interesting here, and we'll read that in 30 through 36. But before we read 11 through 15, so Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is sick, but he dies, and they're in the town of Bethany. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it's about 2 miles from Bethany, so he's within walking distance. I could walk a mile in 15 minutes. If I walk fast, 12 minutes. And so, you know, he's not a far distance off, but he knows everything that's going on. And this is going to prove his omniscience, that he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresence. He's omnipresent. And so I'm going to start it off, but it says in John 11:1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sisters Martha. And in verse 4 it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so we'll go to 11 through 15 here. It says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he's asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in his sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And wow, what a statement that is. You know, I'm not going to use some of the words I've learned lately from my kids, cringy. You know, it's kind of odd to think that, but God has all power. He knows exactly what's going on. And so he's going to go there to prove himself. And when I was studying into this and how it related, I found some very interesting things. And so we're going to split this up, chapter 11, verses 30 through 36. And I'm going to take a pause after these first few verses. I kind of broke it apart for us because I wanted to make a good point on this. It says, now when Jesus not yet can't come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him, the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And so I did a little bit of a study on this, and I found it very interesting because this is exactly what is a perfect example of how we should approach the Lord. Because at first I read this, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, when you read these things, and I'm sure we see it in text messages and on emails, you can insinuate any multiple tones in this verse, but you have to go in and you have to look at this a little bit more in detail and see what's transpiring here. Because at first I thought she was blaming him. I was like, oh boy, she's blaming the Lord on the fact that, well, you're not here, so he died. But that's not the case, because it's proven here that when she fell down at his feet, she's showing that her posture is very humble and submissive. And this is something that she's doing to petition the Lord. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, you know, they lived in the house together, brothers and sisters. And she was very, very struck by his death. And, you know, she's petitioning the Lord because she knows that Jesus has the power and that he has the capability to do whatever it is that he decides to do. And so she's looking for comfort from him and submitting to his will and showing him that, you know, anything that you do is in good will, and knows that his will be done. And so I look at that and I see that when she does this, it kind of gives me that new perspective on what is actually going on. And I appreciate this so much more, because in my human nature, you know, this isn't what really goes on within me when bad things happen. Not even bad things, even little things that happen in my life. And I'm going to be first to admit that I am a blamer. And this is something that my humanist, that I do a lot. And I was talking to Alicia about this, and I was like, so, you know, when I get frustrated because I can't, there's some things I get frustrated about around the house. And I was like, I can't think of all of them. And I was like, it's like one of them, my glasses, because I can't find my glasses. So I start getting frustrated, right? So I got like 50 pairs of glasses all over the house. And Alicia's like, well, your glasses, your keys, your belt, your Invisalign, you know, she starts going on about all these things. And I'm like, yeah, that is true. That is me. And one of the first things that I do is when I can't find these things, okay, what did the kids do with them? Where do they put these things? They're messing with their dad. And it's me. I'm the one. And I've learned to stop and not just point the blame on somebody else, but to walk through the process to try to figure out, okay, now I'm going to speak candidly about what's going on in my mind when these happen. Okay, you big dummy, where did you put your glasses? And I have to backtrack and walk myself back through everything that I touch, my shorts, my pants from work, you know, the basket that I put everything in, my car, did it fall out of my pocket? And you'll see me wandering around my house, and I think that everybody just kind of came to the conclusion that I'm senile and this is just what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life. But it's okay, because this is something that the Lord has shown me, that, you know, don't blame other people for the problems that you create for yourself. You know, whose fault is it really? And it's not anybody else's fault. It's my fault. And so that responsibility belongs to me. And one of the things I started looking at with the attributes of somebody that blames everybody, that it's actually a discharging of discomfort and pain, and it actually has an inverse relationship with accountability. So, you know, you blame somebody, it's actually you're not holding yourself accountable. And a lot of reasons why we don't hold ourselves accountable is because, by definition, so I started looking at all this up, it's a vulnerable process. And, you know, I don't want to look vulnerable. I want to, you know, this isn't my fault, but it is. And I think when we start looking at things from a different perspective, especially like when we're reading and what the Lord is trying to teach us, these are the types of things that open your eyes to be able to help us apply those lessons in our real life, in our spiritual walk. And so it's important that we do that. And so that definition of accountability is the state of being liable to answer for one's conduct, liability to give account, and to receive reward or punishments for actions. And it also says blaming is very corrosive in relationships and is one of the reasons we miss our opportunity for empathy. And so I'm going to tie this back in to show that how Christ is empathetic towards this whole situation. And it's really neat. And I hope you think along the same lines as how this is proving the humanness that Christ put on to show people his love. And so this is important, that as we go back, that as we petition God, as we throw ourselves at his feet for all the dumb things that we do and the blame that we put on others, but if we redirect ourselves and we put it towards God, towards Christ, and petition him that he fixes these things. And so now I'm going to transition into what Jesus did. And keep in mind that he's omnipresence, he is omniscience, and his ability to know that all this is unfolding and he's proving himself as he stated in those previous verses. So it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And so that groaning in the spirit, he was inwardly and sincerely affected with the case. What transpired with Mary, with Martha, with Lazarus, he was very and sincerely affected by it because he was very emotional. And so what do I have here? So in Matthew Henry, it is stating that Jesus Christ took himself on truly the natural man and partook with his children, not only of flesh and blood, but of the human soul, susceptible of the impressions of joy and grief. Christ gave this proof of his humanity. And so with that, he is empathizing, he's empathetic towards Mary and Martha in this situation. And so, you know, this is interesting because we're going to read a little bit about empathy, but, you know, in the end, Christ was proving himself that he is all powerful. And that's in verse 39 where it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Say I not unto you thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. And so no matter how much, how far you are in despair, no matter how far down the dark path you have gone, that if we are willing to be humble and submissive and throw ourselves at Christ's feet, he is capable of bringing us back. He sees us when we're there. He feels us when we're there. You know, if we're truly struggling, he's there because he shows empathy towards man, towards his children. And that's proven in Mosiah 8:18, and again, same verse, scripture, in Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And you know, that's something that's interesting because of who he was, who he proved that he was, and still he was despised of man. Even though he was empathetic towards many of people, performed many of miracles, he was showing and proving himself that he does this. And so some of the things that what he was doing when he was showing this empathy, empathy drives connection. It's an emotional attachment that when we're empathetic towards somebody, that we are connecting with them. It's a feeling with other individuals, and it proves that you're not alone. And when we do this, and when we have Christ in our lives, he's going to show empathy for us. But he teaches us, you know, those that are struggling, show your grace, show your love towards them. And it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, he did it and he's teaching us to do it. Those that truly love their friends will share with them in their joys and griefs. This is how we communicate our affections. This is how we allow ourselves to be open, but more importantly, this is what we do to help ourselves walk in the Spirit and to be a fruitful Christian for the Lord. And this takes time. It can be a tragic life event also that takes very little time. And you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and as long as we keep this in mind, Dave Ramsey, I was listening to him trying to get things back in order within my life and all that. But you'll keep getting what you're getting if you keep doing what you're doing. I love a lot of Dave Ramsey's podcast because, you know, he speaks to a lot of things, and he's a pretty cut and dry, down to earth kind of guy. And, you know, if you want to start a new chapter in your life, you got to turn the page. You got to do something different. And so there's the qualities that you have that you could carry along with that. But there's those different morals, those different ethics that might not fall in suit as to how God asks us to. And to follow, it might not follow in suit with God's commandments and the gospel. And so some of those things that I really think that Christ has shown in some of these verses and what he shows throughout our lives is generosity. The Lord has been so generous to me. That's something that's been proven. I'd never be at where I'm at today without the Lord. So that's a proven fact in my life. And so, you know, that's something that is a trait, a quality that I hope that we can foster, that we can continue to grow with, and to be able to also acquire, to change towards all those other fruits of the gospel that the Lord puts out there for us to be able to not only experience, but to share. And so one of these things that I've kind of experienced here as of lately with a lot of the frustrations is, you know, being more capable of listening and not just trying to prove a point, but being more generous towards others in their time. And I found out that as of lately that I've been happier, that life has been really, even though it's hectic, it's been more peaceful. And I appreciate the Lord with his ability to help us focus on what's important. First and foremost, my family, and then, you know, being able to provide for my family and the church and all that, and really putting those things into perspective and making sure that those people that I'm surrounded by are supportive of that. And it has really helped me be able to share more amongst my peers and my coworkers and my friends that I go riding my bikes with. You know, I give glory to God for all the things that he's capable of doing, and it's neat. So, you know, those things that we have to change, and this is one of the things that it's called the chameleon effect, and it's, you emulate those that are around you, and this is something from Dave as well, Dave Ramsey. People find a rapport with those who naturally mimic their moves. Unintentional mimicry and imitation functions as social cohesiveness. The chameleon effect actually becomes a warm response that facilitates social interactions. Individuals usually do it almost instantly that they are not aware of it. And in most occasions, doing such really does increase their likability. And so it was kind of funny because I like how, again, how cut and dry Dave Ramsey is. And you know, he's basically saying that if you're going to surround yourself with people that steal and do drugs, you know, 99% of the time, you're going to be the guy or the girl that ends up doing drugs and stealing things. So, you know, be aware, be cognizant of those that you engage with and what they're doing and why they're doing it and, you know, the behaviors and all that. So as we grow in the gospel, these are some of the things that we need to think about. You know, where are we going? Who are we hanging out with? And why are we doing that? And if there's issues that we have, you know, maybe this is something that approaching the Lord and petitioning him in a submissive and humble manner will really help us through. And so some of those things, again, in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 7, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against thee, any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That'll keep you in the right direction. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Thankful for our brother's sermon this morning on talking about thankfulness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I look back and I think about all those things that Christ has done to show us his love, you know, the capability, the power that he has, and how he just uplifted his people. He tended to them. He showed his grace. He empathized with those that were struggling. He blessed people. He blessed children. He performed all these miracles. And in the end, he gave his life, you know, and that there's no other sacrifice that is more giving than one that gives his life. And the Lord did that for us. And so, you know, it's important that we remember. My last verse here is 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. So hopefully you got something from this. I know there's a lot more that encompasses some of these things that I talked about, but hopefully it inspires you guys to be able to take some time and start looking at scriptures in a little bit different way and seeing the deeper meaning, the different perspectives that the Lord has for us to be able to learn and to grow. So God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for your time.